WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the ABC Civic News Media now. App.
I'm Derek Dennis. Last-minute preparations underway in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for tonight's first GOP debate. Eight candidates qualified, but former President Trump says he won't participate. He's expected to turn himself in tomorrow in Georgia to be booked on charges related to attempts to overturn the state's 2020 election. His former attorney, Rudy Giuliani, surrenders today, and Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has filed for an extension. ABC's Aaron Katursky is in Atlanta.
Trump's Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is hoping to avoid being arrested at all. He wants the case moved to federal court, and he's asking the judge to rule before the surrender deadline of noon Friday. Meadows tried asking prosecutors for a reprieve, but court records show the district attorney, Fonnie Willis, replying, "I am not granting any extensions."
GOP candidate and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum was injured last night while playing pickup basketball with staffers. It's unknown if he can participate. Another day of searing heat in the Midwest with triple-digit temperatures expected. This is ABC News. Wildfires in northern Greece are burning out of control for a fourth day, while Haiti and the Dominican Republic could get up to 10 inches of rain from Tropical Storm Franklin. And in southern Texas, people are still feeling the remnants of Tropical Storm Harold. ABC's Maria Villarreal is in Corpus Christi.
We can still feel some lingering effects of what was Tropical Storm Harold. Every now and then we get a heavy wind gust, but for the most part, the storm has moved on and is now a tropical depression. But at its height, Harold was pushing 60-mile-per-hour winds and actually dumped more than half a foot of rain in some of the more affected areas. Now, it has been hot and dry here in South Texas, so we definitely saw that rain accumulate in low-lying areas, but overnight, a lot of that flood water receded.
A Tennessee zoo is asking for the public's help in naming its newest resident. A giraffe without spots was born 3 weeks ago. The last known spotless giraffe was born in Japan back in 1967. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, the apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good afternoon, it's 12:03. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Record heat may set new records for demand from Wisconsin's power grid. Much of the state is forecast to experience a heat index of over 100 degrees today and tomorrow. During periods of extreme heat, the electrical grid is stressed with demand, which can lead to power outages. Utility providers are recommending closing blinds to keep the sun from warming your home. People are also encouraged to set their thermostats a few degrees warmer than usual and should wait to cook with large appliances until the sun sets. People who work in restaurant kitchens are especially vulnerable to heat in weather like this. Shantia Hudson reports.
Elevated temperatures not only increase the likelihood of workplace injuries, illnesses, and fatalities, but also lead to chronic dehydration and long-term kidney damage. Colin Page works at a pizzeria and details his own experience with excessive heat and poor ventilation.
At a certain point, I feel that my body and brain start to give up. I feel confused and sluggish. I have experienced stomach cramps while working, and I have developed a heat rash on my back from standing in front of a 550-degree oven all day.
OSHA recommends keeping work environments between 68 and 78 degrees Fahrenheit and between 20 and 60% humidity. Shantia Hudson reporting.
Republican state lawmakers grilled three judicial commissioners yesterday about when a judge should recuse themselves from a case. Nate Wegehout has more.
The questioning comes as GOP lawmakers continue to call on recently elected Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself from a recently filed redistricting case. During the election, Protasiewicz called Wisconsin's legislative maps rigged. All three commissioners agreed that Protasiewicz's comments were protected free speech and that she would not need to recuse herself. The commissioners were all appointed to the commission by Governor Evers, but have not yet been confirmed by the Senate. The commission, among other things, handles ethics complaints filed against Supreme Court justices. If the Senate votes against their confirmation, they would essentially be fired from their position. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Budget cuts are squeezing Wisconsin state universities. Terry Bell reports.
The University of Wisconsin System Board of Regents passed its budget for the school year yesterday, reflecting cuts in state aid made by lawmakers earlier this year. UW-Madison will lose $7 million. That's the most of any campus. UW-Oshkosh is laying off 200 employees and mandating furloughs for the rest. UW-Parkside and UW-Platteville might do the same. 10 of Wisconsin's 13 state universities will operate in the red this school year. UW System President Jay Rothman has warned that tuition might have to go up and that more two-year branch campuses may have to close. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Republicans who control the state legislature say the UW system can get back the money cut in the state budget. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says state universities would have to eliminate diversity and equity programs. The stage is set for tonight's first debate of the 2024 presidential campaign. Eight Republicans will talk about the issues in a national TV forum in Milwaukee. Donald Trump will not be in Milwaukee, and the TV audience is expected to be small. Those factors could play into tonight's strategy. Anthony Cherkosky teaches political science at UW-La Crosse.
They could go after Donald Trump. We know that Governor Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey, has been anxious to do just that. But how does that land when Donald Trump is not actually there?
Cherkosky spoke with the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
Boys and Girls Clubs of the Fox Valley recently celebrated its 25th year. The clubs first opened in the Valley in 1998 and now have 15 locations in the area. The Boys and Girls Clubs of the Fox Valley say they have empowered more than 100,000 kids while also offering after-school care, counseling, and academic assistance. And speaking of child care, Wisconsin families are spending too much. Child care for people in the state costs more than tuition at some Wisconsin colleges. The cost of daycare has some families in financial crisis. All over the state, costs far exceed the federal guidelines, which say child care should only cost 7% of household income. The U.S. Department of Labor says the average Northeast Wisconsin family spends 10 to 12% of their income to provide child care for an infant. That's just for one child. A recent study by the Wisconsin Policy Forum reports that in Milwaukee County, the average child care cost for a four-year-old is $12,142 a year. For an infant, it's $16,236 a year. That's over $28,000 a year for two kids. In his most recent budget, Governor Tony Evers set aside $340 million to assist with child care programs. It is going to be a hot one today, Northeast Wisconsin, so please take precautions. Here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Excessive heat warnings and advisories are in effect until 9 p.m. today, with the heat index rising to 105 to nearly 110 degrees. Beware of signs of heat exhaustion like excessive sweating, rapid pulse, clammy skin, nausea, and cramps. And never leave kids or animals in the car, and beware of pavement buckling as well as paw burns on dogs.
The Fox Crossing and Neenah Police Departments are warning people to keep their cars locked. They are also recommending keeping valuables out of sight. The warnings are due to a rash of illegal car entries in a three-day span last week where dozens of cars were affected. Authorities did say two men were arrested.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Ready or not, the tropics are here in Wisconsin now. An excessive heat warning is in effect now until 9 p.m. for a good chunk of the state, including the entire southwestern portions, extending north to Chippewa Falls, Stevens Point, Oshkosh, and Sheboygan. High temperatures will strike 90 to 100 degrees, paired with oppressive humidity, making it feel like 105 to 112 degrees today. This is dangerous heat. Stay hydrated and watch for signs of heat exhaustion like confusion, dizziness, stiffness, and nausea. Limit time in the sun and check on your relatives and neighbors. Local cooling shelters are also open. As the sun goes down tonight, the temperatures will drop slightly to the upper 70s, with dew points not far behind. This still leaves us in an excessive heat advisories and watches until Thursday night. Have a wonderful Wednesday and stay cool, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers beat the Twins. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last night at AmFam Field in Milwaukee, the Minnesota Twins kept bringing in their infielders closer to home plate. In the bottom of the sixth, the Brewers made them pay for it. Tyrone Taylor up to bat. Jeff Levering with the call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Into shallow right. Wallner coming on. It's going to fall. One run is in. Brewers have the lead. Taylor comes up clutch again.
Yeah, that's the problem you have, the risk you take when you bring the infield in.
The Brewers went on to score five runs in the bottom of the sixth on the way to a 7-3 win over the Twins. Did the crew take advantage of a few lucky breaks? Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
No question about it. Some softly hit balls, found some holes, but kept putting it in play. And, you know, once in a while you get rewarded for that. That's the old adage of why you want to put the ball in play, because sometimes something good can happen.
Willie Adames hit another home run. Two-run shot, his 20th of the year. Adames on going from a slump over the last 2 months to suddenly hitting the ball with 6 weeks left in the season.
I mean, amazing. You've been with me the whole year, so you know it's been tough. But thank God that, you know, we've been feeling better, and hopefully we can help the team to contribute to the team, you know, to win more games.
The two teams play again this afternoon. First pitch 1:10. The Chicago White Sox have fired their vice president, Ken Williams, and general manager, Rick Hahn, after losing to Seattle 6-3. The White Sox are in the cellar of the American League Central Division with a record of 49-77, just ahead of last place Kansas City. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks preseason schedule has been released. The Bucks begin with a home game at Fiserv Forum Sunday, October 12th, against the Chicago Bulls. James Harden has been fined $100,000 for publicly calling 76ers executive Daryl Morey a liar. Women's basketball, Asia Wilson of the Las Vegas Aces scoring 53 points to lead her team to a 112-100 win over the Dream in Atlanta. That ties the WNBA record for most points scored by a player in a game. NFL. After 3 years, the Packers have parted ways with offensive lineman and backup center Jake Hansen. The former sixth-round pick was given an injury settlement and waived from the team after leaving Saturday night's game against New England with a shin injury. Packers outside linebacker Rashawn Gary was back doing team drills yesterday, just 10 months after suffering a torn ACL. Was that an emotional moment?
Yeah, absolutely. I was able to bring it up today, my first day out on the field, and no different than the day. I just said it's a blessing and honor to be back out here with you guys. So, yeah, it was a great feeling.
The Packers play their final preseason game this Saturday against the Seahawks. A.J. Dillon asked how he's holding up during training camp.
I feel good. I feel like, you know, each game so far, you know, there's been things that I've wanted to emphasize just in the little bit of time that I was going to be in there. And so, yeah, I feel good being able to get back out there. And it's always nice to kind of knock the rust off, if you will. I'm getting back to, obviously, live football.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon. With sports, I'm Mike Clement.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. The road to the White House begins here. You'll find complete coverage of the first Republican presidential debate all day on your local Civic Media radio station.
All the show hosts will be broadcasting from the Deer District in Milwaukee. Listen live starting at 8 a.m. Then join Todd Alba and Kristen Bry at 6 as they talk with state and national political experts.
Special live coverage of the Republican presidential debate in Milwaukee all day Wednesday, August 23rd on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app, The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope they don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover.
of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. A heat advisory continues until 7 p.m. this evening. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with a high of 90. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight, 66. Partly cloudy skies. Slight chance for scattered storms again tomorrow, high of 81. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Low 80s Friday, low 70s, partly cloudy Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 88.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
People all over the world, everybody, join in. Start a love tree, love tree.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution, joined, as always, by Mr. Luke Mathers. Luke, how you doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Doing well, Will, behind the board on the ones and twos, making sure that Aaron Zommers, our producer extraordinaire, is staying fresh for all of the production requirements of our team here at Civic Media on this Wednesday across the state of Wisconsin.
It's the realest Wednesday of the week, that I can guarantee. And it's a hot one out there, Luke. What you got in Madison right now?
I wish you would have asked me. I don't know. I don't have that up in front of me. I want to say it was 91.
You didn't check.
No, I did not know there right away. It was 91 degrees the last I looked, but I think we're getting close to that breaking 100 heat index.
I got 94 right now in Milwaukee, too. As you can tell, I am in person today. I have crawled out of the bedroom studio. I have seen a little bit of sunlight. It feels like it's been the first time in weeks, but we're down here. We're excited to cover everything debate today. We're ready to go. Luke, are you excited?
Yeah, should be an excellent day. It's going to be, we've got excellent Civic Media coverage coming from the Deer District all day long. I want to thank, as goes Wisconsin, Kristen Bryan, Jane Matinair, and their entire team for kicking us off from the Whitetail down there in the Deer District from 10 to noon earlier this morning. We're glad to be at the helm now. Todd Alba going to be taking over at 1. The Devil's Advocates, how could I forget? Mr. Matt Flynn, direct, from 3 to 4, will be there on location as well. The Devil's Advocates changing things up a little bit. They're going to be down the street at the Roman Coin from 4 to 6, and then back to the Whitetail for extended pregame coverage, 6 to 8 p.m., with friends over at the Lincoln Project discussing all of what to expect for this evening's debate. It's the first debate of the 2024 cycle, kicking off what is going to be a long run. This is not a sprint, folks. This is a marathon. Get ready for it because it starts today here in Milwaukee.
I know we joke about it all the time, Luke, but my special election wasn't until July 18th. So I've only had like 3-4 weeks off now. We're right back in the swing of things. And I can't lie, I feel kind of naked without my Bernie Sanders Public Enemy poster behind me. I mean, that's been a staple of my appearances since the beginning. It feels almost wrong to not have it here with me.
Well, that's on you, man. You should have prepared and brought it with you.
Put it on a little poster board and just stick it right behind me or something?
That's on you, man.
Fair. Good point. So, Luke, my question for you and for the people of Wisconsin today is, what do you want to hear from the candidates? Obviously, as you noted, this is the launch of the 2024 presidential cycle. It's going to be a marathon. This is not a sprint. And it's going to be brutal. If we thought 2020 was bad, if we thought the millions and millions, what was it, $56 million that went into the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race in April was bad, this is going to be a different animal. I think this is something that we have never seen before, and we'll likely start to see every 4 years as politics gets more and more divisive. But do you have any expectations for tonight, Luke? I'd like to hear your thoughts. Give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Well, my expectation was going to be that there were 8 candidates on the stage tonight, but maybe there's only going to be 7. Did you hear this story already? Or have you been sleeping in, Will, like you tend to do, and not up with the news of the day like myself?
This is breaking to me then, Luke. I'm glad you finally did your homework, but please.
Finally did
elaborate.
My homework? Okay,
there's
sir.
A first time for everything.
Who's leading in the most Wisconsin headline? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I'll just leave that one where it lies.
You're one game above 500, my guy.
I'm two. Just because you want to steal doesn't mean it's going to be actually honored by the scoreboard. But the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting that North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum had to receive emergency room treatment last night after a pickup game of basketball, and questionable as of the last I saw in the story, questionable of whether or not Governor Burgum is going to be able to participate in this evening's debate now. So that's something to keep an eye on. Expectations were that it was going to be 8 candidates. It may get down to 7. So we'll have to see if there's what number of podiums there's going to be on the debate stage this evening from the Pfizer Forum.
Yeah, that is news to me, Luke, and I'm glad you let me know that he's still at least questionable so I can change my fantasy lineup, because I took the risk on him tonight. I thought that might be a good play.
How would you even evaluate fantasy points for a debate like that, sir?
Dude, you can gamble on everything in the modern world. I'm sure there's someone.
And Doug Burgum was your choice for winning? North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum was your choice?
They give me great odds on him. Are you kidding me?
All right. I think you might have a problem, man. We may have to get you a helpline for Gamblers Anonymous then, if that's what you're telling me.
It's just fantasy football. I got too much on fantasy football. My mind's stuck in the mud. It's almost football season.
But what are your expectations, Will? What are you thinking you're going to see on tonight's debate stage? What would you like to hear from the candidates?
Well, obviously, the elephant in the room, or should I say not in the room, would be Donald Trump not appearing. That was what I really wanted to see. I thought it would have been absolutely hilarious. The first, his first line is likely to be some kind of shot on Ron DeSantis, if he would go with the sanctimonious, what terminology he would use to, you know, try to drop him immediately. I personally think it would have been hilarious to watch Ron kind of crumble the first time Trump challenged him. Because, you know, his campaign's been kind of crumbling, and I would expect to see the debate go very similarly. Without Donald Trump here, though, I have no idea. I really have no idea what to expect. I think it's very, very interesting that Vivek Ramaswamy was given the second podium spot.
Vivek, apparently. It's been updated now. I've heard it several times now, but I believe it's Vivek. It apparently rhymes with lake or fake.
Lake or fake Vivek. All right, I'll have to keep that in mind. And that's interesting that you chose the word fake.
Other people had given me that example. That was just the one that was also floated by, I believe, the pro DeSantis super PAC, saying that you need to come up with a name like Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump, likes to do for his opponents. The pro DeSantis super PAC said, call him Vivek the Fake, apparently. Some of the research that was dropped, you know, they are not allowed to coordinate technically, but it seems like all things considered, they're coordinating pretty hard just online.
It's a different kind of organizing, Luke. It's the modern world. Get used to it.
Okay, Will. Okay.
Well, and should we run down the podium stage positions real quick just to make sure all the listeners are on the same wavelength as us. So obviously DeSantis will be in slot
one.
You're
catching me up to speed. I don't even know where these individuals are on the podium side.
Well, I'm more than happy to fill you in, good sir. Mike Pence will be in the 3-hole. Nikki Haley, 4. Chris Christie, 5. Tim Scott, 6. Asa Hutchinson, 7. And then if he were to appear, Doug Burgum, 8. That goes alternating from the middle. So think of it kind of like...
So it's not like swimmer's lanes where 1 and 8 you run through, but the good ones are in 4 and 5. This is 1 and 2 are in the middle, but you alternate back and forth.
It's just changing the where you position the 1 or 2, I guess. Yes, 1 and 2 are still in the middle. The best or most popular candidates are still right in the middle, as if track was going to be the one I used, but swimming is equally valid. And yeah, so that's our lineup for tonight. It's interesting that a former vice president of the United States couldn't manage one of the top two, and instead it went to a podcast bro. But hey, you know, got to do what you got to do.
That's where the national polling is right now for primary voters in the Republican Party. If you've got thoughts, if you want to share what you would like to hear from the candidates on the debate stage in Milwaukee from the Pfizer Forum this evening, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. You can take the entire network with you on the go if you like. You can download the Civic Media app wherever apps are downloaded, and you can engage and interact with the show right from the power of your pocket. On your smart device, you can call or text on the programs. You can listen to all the excellent stations and share with us what you think. 844-967-2789. Really easy to do so from the Civic Media app. We are discussing what we believe is going to be said from the candidates on the debate stage this evening. We're also going to be joined on a Wednesday, as we are one to be joined by, the recombobulation area himself, Dan Schaefer, at 12:30. So looking to get Dan's take as well. But if you'd like to share your thoughts with us between now and then, 844-967-2789. And Will, it will be interesting. Do you think these candidates, because none of them are leading, the front runner, former President Donald Trump, not going to be in attendance.
He's going to be doing a bit of an understatement, too, Luke, if you're looking at polling data.
Well, again, I shared this with Todd Albaugh on his show yesterday for our Tuesday Tangents with Todd. But it feels like there may be some. The newest Iowa Des Moines Register poll shows Trump with a 42% of support. And so it seems like some of these polls that are coming out with 50, 60, 70% may be softer than what we are actually getting from those polls. It will be interesting to see. But 42% means 58% not supporting the former president in his own Republican Party in Iowa. Now, Iowa does tend to set the tone for a lot of these presidential campaigns, but it's also not the best indicator of who has gone on to receive the Republican nomination when the winner, I believe the last three or four cycles for the Republican nomination has not gone on to be the Republican nominee. And so Iowa sets the tone. It is a lot of national narrative around the entire election, but it doesn't necessarily give us the best insight on who the Republican Party will ultimately select to lead their ticket.
Yeah, and that 42%, Luke, that'd be the lowest that I've seen anywhere. I have the RCP average up right now, and it's got Trump at 55.4. DeSantis down to 14.3, Ramaswamy 7.2.
Pence, we saw
4,
in 2022, Will, we saw that these national polls start to get flooded with some questionable polling terminology, though. Like, there is, it's not necessarily, all polls are not created equally. And so I tend to like the Iowa Des Moines Register poll. It's kind of the gold standard for presidential primaries this far out, and so it will be interesting. It's the one indicator that maybe the former president doesn't have such a stronghold on his party, but it's to be determined still. We're going to have to wait and see. But how the other candidates react to the fact that the front runner is not there, any attacks that they're going to try to throw at him, they're just going to be kind of lobbed at an empty podium, and I don't know if that's going to be Doug Burgum's empty podium, or if that's just the fact that, you know, they'd set up an empty one for the former president that is not going to be in attendance tonight.
Yeah, and speaking of polling data, Luke, I don't know if you saw this, but this is my my homework of the week. Did you see that Perry Johnson and Larry Elder announced yesterday that they are suing the RNC for not allowing them on stage at the upcoming primary debate?
I did not see that.
Elder said that he met all requirements, but the RNC said that Rasmussen was not considered a legitimate poll, according to Larry Elder.
Okay. Well, that's going to be interesting to see, because, I mean, I feel like Rasmussen is pretty acceptable poll. So maybe they just like the even number 8, and now that the Governor Burgum might not be able to be there, maybe they'll just swap Elder in and
call.
Be like,
hey,
and
fly in quick.
Just like, come on. Just swap in. Nobody's going to notice, right? Who would notice? Folks, you're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. If you want to share your thoughts with us here, 844-967-2789. We are going to be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area coming up next. But stay tuned to your Civic Media station.
From I-43 to I-41.
This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. Last-minute preparations underway in Milwaukee, Wisconsin for tonight's first GOP debate. Eight candidates qualified, but former President Trump says he won't participate. He's expected to turn himself in tomorrow in Georgia to be booked on charges related to attempts to overturn the state's 2020 election. His former attorney, Rudy Giuliani, surrenders today, and Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has filed for an extension. ABC's Aaron Katursky is in Atlanta.
Trump's Chief of Staff Mark Meadows is hoping to avoid being arrested at all. He wants the case moved to federal court, and he's asking the judge to rule before the surrender deadline of noon Friday. Meadows tried asking prosecutors for a reprieve, but court records show the district attorney, Fonnie Willis, replying, "I am not granting any extensions."
GOP candidate and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum was injured last night while playing pickup basketball with staffers. It's unknown if he can participate. Another day of searing heat in the Midwest with triple-digit temperatures expected. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
If you see first responder crews tomorrow morning at Austin Straubel Airport, don't panic. Area airports are undergoing disaster drills to prepare for emergencies. Last Wednesday, Appleton International simulated a plane crash, giving local first responder crews a chance to practice procedures and protocols. Tomorrow morning, a similar drill will be exercised at Austin Straubel Airport in Green Bay from 7 a.m. to noon. These drills are required every 3 years by the FAA. Oconee County authorities are asking for help in finding a cornfield vandal. The Sheriff's Department says several acres of a cornfield were run over with an SUV in Little Suamico. Police say they're looking for an older model black Nissan Rogue. If you know something, please contact the Oconee County Sheriff's Office. Want to save some pennies at the pump? Try $2.73 a gallon at Quick Pantry in Oshkosh, where it must still be 1994.
Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
My name is Leah, and I'm a single mom living in Milton, Wisconsin. I have two kids with severe peanut allergies and asthma. Before Badger Care, I struggled with affording the copays for their life-saving medications. Even with the best insurance available through my full-time job, the EpiPens had a $100 copay, and we needed them for school and home for each of my kids. There was even a point when my daughter had a severe allergic reaction, and I strongly considered not calling 911 due to the cost of the ambulance. I'm grateful that the administrations of President Joe Biden and Governor Tony Evers are working together to give us the tools to improve our health care. Now I no longer have to choose between putting food on the table and providing affordable, life-saving health care for my children. To learn more about how the Inflation Reduction Act and other investments are helping rural communities and families like mine, visit www.abetterwisconsininstitute.org/rural.
Did you know every 10 years, based on the latest census population information, state officials redraw voting district boundaries? Sounds fair until redistricting becomes gerrymandering. It's described as manipulating the boundaries to favor one party or class. Those at the nonpartisan Brennan Center call gerrymandering as old as the United States, but also say regardless of the party responsible, it isn't fair to the voters. Still, Congress voted not to pass reform legislation last year. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bar.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
A fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
Welcome, Juan. Welcome, all. Welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Luke, that intro never gets old. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, Todd and the production team did an excellent job. And so Todd, Aaron, everybody that contributed, and Bobby Portis, shout out to him for the excellent
shout out to Bobby Portis.
Excellent
really,
comments from Bobby Portis. And it's Wednesday at 12:30, and that can mean only one thing. We are joined now by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, how are we doing on this hot Wednesday from Milwaukee?
Yeah, good afternoon, fellas. I am outside in the streets of downtown Milwaukee. And I am sweating. It is.
I am so sorry to hear that, Dan.
And humid out here. Yeah.
Yeah, it is definitely not necessarily the best day to be out and about, especially there is a heat advisory in place until tomorrow, Thursday evening. So if you do have to spend time outdoors, make sure you're drinking lots of water. Dan, hopefully you're drinking lots of water, but do everything you can to stay safe out there, folks. Dan, you are covering all things going on around the debate today, including a presser that was held by the Democratic National Committee earlier this afternoon, just taking place a few minutes ago, in fact. What can you share with us from that event that you were covering?
Yeah, I actually ducked out a little early of it to talk to you guys. So that's how important it is that I you know, talk to you folks here on Town Call. But yeah, it was a press conference with the mayor of Madison, Ben Wickler, the chair of the party, and then Jimmy Harrison, the chair of the DNC. And, you know, they were really talking about how these candidates are really kind of tripping over themselves to, you know, play to the extreme MAGA crowd. You know, we heard that MAGA extremism line many times from the speakers there, really talking about, you know, some of the more extreme positions that many of these candidates have, in particular highlighting their stance on abortion, and the possibility of a nationwide abortion ban under whoever the Republican, you know, if there were a Republican president to win the next election. So really putting that issue at the forefront of the press conference. Also talking about issues relating to democracy, economic issues as well. So really trying to paint that contrast between the Biden-Harris campaign and the field of candidates that is now here in Milwaukee, just hours away from that debate.
Really? Yes, I mean it's how many hours left? It's 12:30, so yeah, we got about
just under 8 hours left to go.
Just under 8 hours left to go. Feels like it's going to be an eternity, especially in this heat. I am kind of grateful actually for the GOP to bring the Seventh Circle of Hell to Milwaukee for a weekend. We're able to enjoy this
weekend.
A little bit.
It's the middle of the week. It's a Wednesday.
It's the realest Wednesday, but every day's a weekend, Luke, depending on how you look at it. So it's really exciting, though. I mean, we've talked about this in the past, Dan, that Wisconsin will be at the epicenter of the American electoral system for the next, at least tonight, but will be a heavy focus of the 2024 race as well. You noted the contrasts that the DNC made at their press conference. What do you expect to see tonight? What are you looking forward to the most with your press pass? You know, you'll be in there. Congratulations. I'm excited for you. Wish I could be joining you there. What are your expectations for tonight?
Yeah, I'll be there. But there is obviously one particularly notable candidate who will not be there, of course. And I wrote about that in a piece today at the Recombobulation Area. I wrote about my five things that I'll be watching with this debate tonight. Obviously, the first of those is the elephant not in the room. The Donald Trump, his absence at the debate, you know, it makes it, this is a weird debate because of it. You know, he's not the overwhelming front runner is not going to be there. As I talk to you right now, a group of Trump supporters in Make America Great Again hats just walked right by me on 3rd Street in Milwaukee. But so his presence is definitely felt in downtown Milwaukee right now. Even though the candidate himself is not there. So I think one of the things that's going to be really interesting to watch at the debate is how these candidates talk about Trump, considering his absence. You know, there hasn't been that much criticism from a lot of the field towards Donald Trump in this campaign, you know, despite all of the legal issues and the fact that he is the front runner, and typically you have a dynamic where, you know, if somebody is the front runner, that's the person that they're going to criticize to try to elevate themselves within the polls. That we haven't seen that all that much, a little bit here from Chris Christie or Asa Hutchinson, maybe a little bit from Mike Pence, but not so much from the rest of the field. So will, you know, folks like Tim Scott or Ron DeSantis or Nikki Haley, will they really take Trump on in his absence at this debate? I think that is certainly going to be a big factor to watch. And then, you know, obviously, being a Milwaukee resident and a Milwaukee champion of this city myself, I, you know, I'm of course going to be watching for how these candidates talk about Milwaukee. You know, Republicans don't always have the nicest things to say about our city, that's putting it mildly. And so will the candidates go up on stage and trash the city? I think that's what people are hoping will not happen. You know, the people like Cavalier Johnson, a lot of the business community in Milwaukee that are supportive of the RNC being here. You know, now that we've got to this point, we're just, I think there's a lot of people hoping that they treat the city kindly on stage. And I think, you know, that is going to be certainly a factor to watch tonight as well.
Yeah, and notably, as you've pointed out, Dan, that already some of Trump's supporters there on the ground in Milwaukee, even though he will not be at the debate either, it seems like Fox News is going to be playing clips of Trump at the debate. So he's still going to be part of this evening's programming, even though he's not in attendance. And so I don't exactly quite understand how that's going to work, if they're just going to play Trump's former comments and then ask for reaction from the other candidates. I don't quite understand that. Have you heard anything about that? And what are your thoughts about them trying to invoke Trump's presence without him being in attendance?
Yeah, I suppose they have to get creative, right? I mean, he's not going to be there to answer for himself. So at least using his own words is one way to kind of get at that. And that's a pretty interesting way to do it, I suppose. You know, there's going to be, he's going to have his own counter programming as well, with an interview with Tucker Carlson. You know, so you cannot escape the spectacle of Trump. He's got a number of kind of surrogates, I guess, here in Milwaukee as well. I know Marjorie Taylor Greene was doing some interviews. Carrie Lake was around. I saw Matt Gaetz walking around downtown Milwaukee yesterday. So there, his presence is certainly felt throughout this debate, and I think that is really the biggest factor in this is, you know, and I think another thing too, the Trump campaign put out a website today calling this the vice presidential debate and asking their supporters to vote on who the vice president would be. And I think, you know, there is a shred of truth to that, right? So I think, you know, a number of these candidates who are running for president but also want to stay in the mix to be that vice presidential pick, you know, maybe people like Tim Scott or Nikki Haley, are they going to, you know, hold back some of that criticism of Trump to try and stay in the mix for that vice presidential selection? That's going to be, you know, an interesting aspect to watch. Because I don't think it's going to be Mike Pence again. Do you?
I don't think Mike Pence wants that job again.
If I'm Mike Pence, I want nothing to do with that job either. No.
Right, right. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how these candidates find that balance. And so I one of the other things that I wrote in my piece at the Recombobulation area today was candidates to watch who are not, you know, who are not Donald Trump. Who are the candidates to watch who might break through in this debate stage? You know, I'm keeping an eye on Tim Scott as somebody who might be interesting to watch. He polled in third in the Iowa poll. So the Iowa poll can sometimes be indicative of, you know, support across the Midwest. And it was Donald Trump in far away in first place. You have Ron DeSantis, you know, who has been on the decline, but still in second in many of these polls. And Tim Scott was in third. So I'm interested to see kind of what Tim Scott might have to say. His message seems to at least, you know, be resonating a little bit more than some of the other candidates within the Midwest. Are we going to see some of that reflected on the debate stage and some of the, maybe some of the Wisconsin pandering?
Well, and Dan, what do you think about, as long as we're talking about candidates that aren't there, I mentioned to Luke before the break, Larry Elder will not be on stage, and neither will Perry Johnson, and they plan to actually sue the RNC for not allowing them on the stage at the upcoming debate. According to the Elder campaign, the reason, as stated by the RNC, is that the Rasmussen polls have ties to former President Donald Trump. So, Luke, I was incorrect when I originally stated that they didn't consider it a legitimate poll. It's that they considered it
tainted.
Perhaps biased,
yeah,
or tainted,
little.
Yes. An individual who is not even participating in the upcoming debate, Elder's campaign said in a statement, noting that Larry Elder has no knowledge about whether Donald Trump has ever worked with Rasmussen previously. They're accusing the RNC of essentially, you know, they have preconceived ideas of who they wanted on stage, and they're going out of their way to bend the rules to set the stage accordingly. I was not aware that Fox News would be playing these Donald Trump clips to make sure that he was just as involved as well.
That's, I don't know if it's just as involved or not, Will, but I've heard that there will be clips of Donald Trump at the debate tonight in a part of the questioning by the moderators. But I think we may have lost Dan. I don't know if he is traveling through Milwaukee right now covering all of the events. So we were speaking with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, do we still have you?
Can you hear me now?
We can. We can still hear you.
Gotcha.
I was worried if you were on one of those like bird scooters or Lyft scooters, and we lost you while you took a spill off of one of them.
I think my Bluetooth cut out on you, so I'm back with you, though. We're all right.
Perfect. So your thoughts on the fact that there are some candidates not making the stage this evening that are going to be suing the RNC, it sounds like. Larry Elder and Will, who was the other candidate?
Perry Johnson.
Yeah, hard to believe a Republican would disagree with the results of something, right? I mean,
there's first time for everything, Dan.
If you don't like the results, they're going to sue and try to overturn things and throw a fit. It has come to be the norm for the Republican Party in the 2020s, right? They're just going to never accept the results. And, you know, that's something to consider with the larger campaign as well. Like, you know, there's something I wrote about with in a column a couple of weeks ago at the Recombobulation Area about how nobody's talking about the fact that even if Donald Trump legitimately loses in this primary, he's not ever going to concede. So I think, you know, this is just how things work now for Republicans. It's just never going to accept the results of things.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens with the RNC conducting future debates then, if they take that criticism to heart or if it continues to be something they do to keep candidates on the stage. I think anything more than eight candidates, I think that was roughly the threshold in 16 and 20 when there were so many viable candidates.
Well, they had two nights of primary debates.
Right, and so they had to split it up. Anything more than eight, they wanted to have multiple debates. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, we know that you're a very busy man on this Wednesday afternoon. Dan, where can listeners listening to us here on Town Call find out more about your work and support what you're doing at the Recombobulation Area?
Yeah, you can find me at recombobulationarea.substack.com. Become a free subscriber, become a paid subscriber. Come check out our content covering the Republican debate. I'm going to be credentialed covering the debate tonight. It's going to be a long day for us. We're pretty excited about what's to come for our coverage. So stay tuned.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday.
Stay hydrated, Dan.
Yes, stay cool, stay hydrated, and we look forward to all of the reporting that you're able to do from on the ground there in Milwaukee, Dan.
All right, thanks so much.
Take it easy. We'll talk to you soon. Folks, if you've got thoughts, what you want to hear from the candidates this evening, or expectations for what's going to take place on the debate stage in Milwaukee, share them with us here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. You can contribute through the phone lines, the text lines. You can also follow us. We've got an excellent new get up here on Town Call. We've joined the rest of some of the civic media programming on StreamYard, Will. It's looking good. You can follow us on the socials, Town Call WI. We're going to continue the conversation and hear your reactions when we return, 844-967-2789.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A heat advisory continues until 7 p.m. this evening. Highs level off around 90 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies, northwesterly winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows dip down to about 66. Tonight, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Mainly cloudy. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 81. Low 80s Friday with a chance for scattered storms. Low 70s Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 88.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I am down in location in Milwaukee. We are talking the GOP debate. And Luke, something that we haven't had the chance to cover yet that I think is definitely potentially noteworthy would be, I saw a quote from Liz, I believe it's Meyer. He has, referring, of course, to Ron DeSantis, saying that this strikes me as very make-or-break for DeSantis. He has no real room for error. We talked earlier about some of the changing polling number, particularly around Iowa, where Trump's numbers are a little lower than they have been on national polls. But I wanted to note that, remember, DeSantis's polling has essentially fallen off a cliff. He's gone from the 20 to 25% range now to being in the mid-teens. This debate tonight is really make or break for his campaign. Is there any other individual that you think either needs to have a stunning overperformance tonight or potentially risks dropping out if they don't do anything or underperform?
I think we're still pretty early. The biggest difference right now here in 2023/2024 cycle compared to the 15-16 cycle is there are fewer candidates than there were last go around. There is only these eight. There's not enough for two debates. In 16 at this, the
well,
16
there's
election 10, cycle.
But two of them didn't qualify.
Yeah, hey, well, and there's
like,
11.
I think six or seven didn't qualify.
Well, I was going to say there's the 11th that, you know, is also just not showing, the front runner not showing. So you got to count him as well. But there's fewer, there's not such a crowded field. I want to say there were like 20 or 24, and they had so many people qualify in 15 and 16 for these early debates that if you didn't make one of those two debate stages, then I think, or at least make a splash on one of those two debate stages, that's when you saw candidates start falling out because they were on the quote unquote JV debate. If it wasn't the one where the serious candidates were, those not my words, the way that it was talked about back in 15
and 16. It was portrayed
that
way. Yeah.
That's the way it was portrayed. That's why you saw very like darlings of the Republican Party, former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, lasted, I want to say, just over 70 days in his presidential bid in 2015, and it was because he wasn't...
That's like six Scaramucci's right there.
I don't remember what the divisible factor of Scaramucci's are, but...
I believe it was 11 days equals one.
Sure. I don't do math on the radio, and I'm not familiar with that unit of measurement, but I know that it's a joke, but outside of that, I'm not familiar with the specifics. But it will be interesting to see. I don't know if this is necessarily as make or break for everyone. I think you are pretty accurate when it comes to saying Ron DeSantis has probably the most to lose today. But also, I don't know if he has all that much to gain. Because a lot of the narrative this week is still going to be surrounding the former president. The expectations are that Donald Trump is going to have to go to Fulton County before Friday as well. So as soon as this wraps up, the focus tomorrow and Friday, I don't believe, is going to be the reactions from tonight's debate stage. I think it will make a splash in this evening's media cycle. But tomorrow, if Trump turns himself in Fulton County, the entire national attention is going to be turned to that. So I don't know if this is the make or break debate. I think it's important because it's going to set the tone for how we start the 2024 cycle here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin is right now the center of the political universe. It's going to continue to be until the RNC National Convention is held at the same building this debate's being held at tonight. About 11 months from now, when the Republican National Party crowns whoever's going to be its nominee. And so we're going to see, again, this marathon, not a sprint. And I think it's going to be interesting to see. I just don't know if it's going to be a make or break right out of the gate.
Well, who do you think then? Do you think potentially the target is on DeSantis's back? That other candidates may be going after him? Do you think they're more likely to go after the metaphorical empty podium where Donald Trump would have been? I have no idea. I genuinely have no idea what to expect tonight. I like your use of the term splash, because that makes me think of March Madness. Do we kind of need to implement some kind of March Madness style debate where road to the Final Four, you just debate each other 1v1?
You got to talk to Todd. The road to the nomination starts today. Wisconsin Decides 2024. That's what we're doing at Civic Media from the Deer District all day long. So it's absolutely something that our state is going to play an integral role in. I just don't know if the stakes are as high as some people are pumping them up to be this evening. That's all, Will.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. That's fair. It will still be interesting to follow just because American politics in particular, there's a real tribal vibe to it, a real almost like sports teams, yay, my team type deal. So when you get the first game of the year, very much like we've been joking about fantasy football, how excited we are for the Green Bay Packers season to start. This is the launch of the 24 cycle. Us political junkies will be watching very closely, whether we want to admit it or not. I'm sure there will be millions of other Americans that are following along tonight. I'm a little weary. I'm a little burnt out from all of this politics, but it is what it is. We got to do what we got
to
do.
We want to know what you think, what you'd like to hear from the candidates on the debate stage this evening in Milwaukee. Share your thoughts with us here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. We got on the lines CJ down at Stoughton calling in. CJ, what are you hoping to hear from the candidates, 7 or 8 of them, that will be on the stage this evening?
The facts about this failed president, Biden, and do-nothing VP Harris.
More jobs created than any other administration ever before?
During a COVID, big deal.
Doing better than on inflation. What's that?
You guys deflect so well. You want to hear why? Because of
Well, actually, CJ, I was going to ask
you guys
why you... Why were you deflecting? What do you look for tonight's debate?
People are facing. Tim Scott is going to be amazing. He's going to be a great president.
So CJ, you believe in the narrative? CJ, you believe in the narrative that everybody on the stage tonight is fighting for second place?
Yes, and any one of them would be a great VP. Or president compared to this one, and when is the Democrats' first debate? You got a couple of candidates running against this failed president, who's almost got us in a nuclear war.
Didn't Donald Trump want to nuke the hurricanes, CJ? I believe Donald Trump's war for nuclear weapons was against hurricanes. That was his suggestion there. I don't know. I believe Harlan Crow as well, the Republican mega donor for Clarence Thomas, is who's been supporting a lot of RFK Jr.'s campaign. So I don't know if you can necessarily qualify all of that dark money that's going to RFK as a Democratic support, but we'll see. That's going to be something we'll keep an eye on as well.
I do support the open debate.
I believe
actually,
debate should
but
be there.
It is a sitting president, so this is a little bit different.
That is an excellent point, Will. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. We appreciate CJ and Dan Schaefer for joining us on today. We'll be back tomorrow at 12:15. Stay tuned. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming
ABC
on the
News,
Civic
Media.